I don't know if the name Leighton Ford rings any bells with you. He's an evangelist and actually a brother-in-law of Billy Graham. And many years ago, Leighton had the opportunity of meeting Muhammad Ali in a hotel in Sydney, Australia. And Ford listened to Ali regaling the group of admirers before he introduced himself as the Billy Graham's brother-in-law, and Ali's face lit up. He said, "Oh, Billy, Billy, I love Billy. I went up and saw him at the house on Montreat, and he signed a book for me." And Ford goes on to write of what happened next. We got into this very interesting conversation. Ali was articulate, sharp, very bright. And of course, this is after he had chosen to become a Muslim. And he told Ford and the onlookers, "You know, I've traveled all over the world and I've come in contact with all kinds of religions. And they seem to me like they're all about the same thing. Kind of like you have a river and a lake and a pond and a stream. They're all water." Ford replied, "You know, that's interesting, but suppose all the water is polluted. Who's going to purify the water? You need someone that's going to clarify the water. And I believe it's Jesus. Jesus is the purifier." And Ali stopped and thought and then said, "You know, that's good. I never thought about it like that, that Jesus is the purifier. Ford says that to refer to Jesus as the Son of God would be somewhat problematic, since that would imply in the Muslim faith of some sort of physical relationship between God and Mary. But he went in a little different direction. He said, "Did you know that Jesus is the second Adam?" And he seemed somewhat puzzled, and he said, "You know, Adam was the first. The first Adam was made by God as in creation, and the second Adam was Jesus, who creates all things new." And Ali said, "You know, I'm going to have to think about that." Well, that was sort of the end of the conversation between Ford and Ali. And now, some 30 years or more since that conversation, Ali has died, and Ford has reflected on that. You know, the greatest has met even the greater. And I wonder what he might have said, what he would say now, Ali, in the face of God. There are people who have the gifts of evangelism. They're among us. They are people with the gifts that these are passionate people. They're passionate about maybe a brand of merchandise or a favorite sports team or maybe about a method of doing something, and who easily explain why they're so passionate about these things. They are people who like people, who are winsome, and love to tell stories that connect the conversation of the moment to an experience of life. Jesus is the prime example of this kind of person. And when we look at and reflect on the story that we have of Zacchaeus, we see a number of these things coming out in Luke 19. It seems that people enjoyed being around Jesus. When he went someplace, there were crowds that followed. People wanted to be around him. Jesus was not afraid to be in the company of those who were different than him. Even though there were people who were known to be sinners, Jesus had no problem about being around them. In other places, we read in the scriptures that the Pharisees had a hard time with Jesus because he would eat and drink with sinners. In fact, he was known, the accusation was that he was a glutton and a drunkard, which isn't true. Jesus loved to be around people. He loved to be with people of all kinds. And there's this boldness in Jesus. He's walking down the road, goes by a sycamore tree, sees Zacchaeus up there, and he calls him down. And he just doesn't call him down. He says, "I'm going to your house today." Bold enough to invite himself to Zacchaeus' place. We don't know what happened in that time of gathering together. Zacchaeus was glad to invite Jesus into his home, and he somehow puts together a time of eating. But there must have been also a time of Jesus teaching and talking to Zacchaeus. We don't have that conversation, but we see the evidences of that conversation. Because Jesus must have been clear and called Zacchaeus to make a decision. For when Zacchaeus stands up and says, "I'm changing my life. If I've ever done anything to anyone to take money away from them, I'll give it back four times." He is changing. He's making amends for his past. He's changing his ways. And it's clear that Jesus embraces him. And then restates to the crowd this evangelistic nature of Jesus. "I tell you that everyone who has, more will be given. And for those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. But those enemies of mine who did not want..." I'm reading from the wrong place. "Today salvation has come to the house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Seeking and saving the lost. Another way that Jesus was gifted as an evangelist was in the way he told stories. If we turn back to chapter 15 of Luke, we see three stories on top of each other, three parables on top of each other. The lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. All of these stories are going out and finding what was lost. Stories of being an evangelist. And no doubt we can think of other ways that Jesus was an evangelist, had these gifts of evangelism. And I'm here to say that those gifts exist here among us as well. Yet we shy away from them. We shy away from this gifting set. Is it because we think of people who have been real pushy buttonholers that make people or try to bring people together to make an immediate decision of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. People that we wouldn't want to be around. However, that's not the way Jesus operated. Our reluctance and our distance from accepting the gifts of evangelism probably are the fact that we're looking at the wrong models. We think of people who we don't want to be like, or we think we can't be like. We think about Billy Graham and his preaching and seeing that, saying, no, I can't be Billy Graham. But it's interesting to note, you realize that a huge majority of people who come forward in the Billy Graham Crusades were already being connected with a person in a relationship where they understood or received the gospel message. Many come to Christ through Billy Graham's services because they were already opened up to the message of Jesus by already a person who was an evangelist in that situation. However, we begin to establish conversations with people that we start to share our faith, persons who have that interest, this is the gifting towards sharing the good news. And it's the good news people that we have in our midst. So, here's some other ways to test your own thinking about being a good news person. When you're excited about something, do you get others excited and interested in it too? Do you like to tell stories? Especially stories that connect with from your own experience? No matter what the subject may be, you're willing to share what you believe. Are you the kind of person that enjoys relating to a group of people over a period of time, sharing personally and experiencing their successes and failures, walking with them? Do you find yourself as a person who easily mixes with a wide range of people without having to be like them or one of them? Do you love to meet new people and get to know their story? These are all a part of the gifting of the evangelism, of the evangelist. And we need to think about the whole story about what it means to be evangelist. Lee Anderson notes that the beginning of evangelism is the information about Jesus, how to get to know him, how to get in relationship with him. But there's more. For evangelism is persuading the person to become a disciple, to having them and walking with them as they choose their course of life to become like Jesus. So who are the evangelists in our midst? Who are the good news people that you see around you here this morning? Have you told them that? Have you shared with them how you experience them as a person who communicates well of the message of Jesus? We need to encourage each other. Because again, this is only one set of gifting out of five different gifts described in Ephesians 4. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the shepherd and the teacher. All of these are needed so that we can grow up, continue to grow in our faith, and become mature. We need all these gifts in the church. So where is your gifting? Where is, what part of you is an evangelist? Don't deny it. We pray when, as we did with Sawyer here, that he would become the person God created him to be. And if he in life becomes a person who has this ability to share his feelings and his beliefs and has the gifts of evangelism, the worst thing we could do is create an atmosphere where he would back away from it. And sometimes we've already done that with each other. Let's not pull back or hold back that gifting that's meant to be a part of the fully functioning body of Christ. Shall we pray? Lord God, we thank you that you are the evangelist's evangel. That we look to you and see what it means to be a person gifted with evangelism. Lord, may we see our own gifts. May we see the gifts in others. May we encourage deeper faithfulness in the expression of these gifts so that we all might grow in our understanding of who you are and what it means to be church. Lord, bless the evangels in our midst. May we give them courage to be who you have called them to be. In Jesus' name, amen.